welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of December 15th through December 21st. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So how is everyone's full moon in Gemini? I had a really incredible time. I was speaking and doing readings at the Economic Club of Canada's Lunar event on Thursday in Toronto. Thank you again to everyone who came out for that and to all of you that I got to do individual readings for during my time in Toronto last week. It was really beautiful and such an incredible way to really spend that full moon in Gemini. We're now moving into a waning moon period, and we're headed towards Yule, which falls on the winter solstice this coming Saturday, December 21st. And that's the darkest day of the year. That's when we celebrate the solstice. So for those of you in the Northeast, it can be a little depresso right now when we go to work in the dark and we get home in the dark. Today's sunset in New York City is 4:29 p.m. Like, seriously, that's just brutal. But the good news is, as I mentioned in the December overview, which is episode 70 of this podcast, in case you guys missed it, the days after the solstice, so starting December 22nd, actually every day from December 22nd up until the summer solstice in June start getting lighter and lighter. And that's kind of giving us something to look forward to and express gratitude for. As I said in the December overview, it's why we light candles for Yule, and we're kind of welcoming in that fiery, that sun energy. And I love the time between Yule and New Year's for that reason. We can literally feel more light starting to seep in physically from the sun, and also energetically in that time period, a lot of us spend increased time with people we love, whether that's friends or family, kind of gathering together, and we feel that light, that more light energy coming in. I'm going to be posting my personal Yule altar and some rituals that I work with on Instagram, but I love to see yours as well. So I love when people message me, tag me at Cardzi B, because I will share them on mine as well. So the more that we can see, it inspires each other. So please keep those coming. I love that. And I'll go into some more kind of Yule holiday specific questions, because today is the December's Ask Cardzi B. But before I get to that, let's go through our cards for December and for the week. So our first card, again, ruled by Sagittarius, is Temperance. And, you know, we always go through the order of the Golden Dawn cards by astrological sign first. So Temperance, ruled by Sag, is the alchemist of the deck. This card is known for moderation, which I always think is funny, because Sagittarians are notorious for not, they're very hedonistic and extremist, and they get super fun, but they're not known for moderation. But this card is really leaning into using moderation for your best and highest interest. It's also, as I said, the alchemist of the deck. So especially with the chaos of the holidays, it's important to be able to access the alchemy of Sagittarius and Temperance to make changes and adjustments when we need to. The days between now and Yule provide an important window, really, to assess where we want to level up and what we need to release and walk away from. So that's really the alchemizing vibe of Temperance. It's okay, let's step back, use that moderation, and okay, what's working? What do we need to shift and change? And what do we need to walk away from completely? Our second card for December, which we got from our annual overview, January 1st of 2019, is Nine of Swords. And I remember when I pulled this, being like, this is how we're going to end 2019, Nine of Swords. I don't love this card. If you're familiar with the tarot at all, you know, you probably know, there are many downsides to Nine of Swords: anxiety, stress, lack of sleep, feeling alone and isolated. But on the bright side, which, as I always say, Sagittarians live for, Nine of Swords is all about perspective, reminding us that negative and bad and dark situations are only as negative and detrimental to us as we allow them to be. Nine of Swords can actually be a really amazing invitation to break a negative cycle of thoughts. It doesn't have to become a big, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like Nine of Swords is almost the anxiety card. It's kind of like the anxiety is tap dancing in your mind, and how much space are you going to allow it to manifest in your life? If we manage to shift our attention from that annoying anxiety tap dancer to something that feels better, like a better feeling thought, you know, whether that's playing with your, I play with Lola all the time when I'm in those moments, listening to a podcast or a song that pulls you out of it. It's really that, like, again, that invitation to break that negative thought cycle. And I have to say, I was having a rough start to this month, which I normally love December. And it was, I mean, nothing terrible. It was just a really hectic workload from my family. fashion clients, coupled with a ton of holiday tarot events and bookings, which, thank you, universe. I love doing this work in tarot and healing, and it's like good problems to have that I'm so, so busy and traveling. But I was feeling just a little bit scattered, like I'm usually quite organized and prepared, and that I was not getting enough rest. I was feeling run down. And I ended up with a really nasty kind of sinus infection situation. And I was so annoyed because I was like, seriously, during my birthday and my Toronto trip that I was so looking forward to, like, seriously, universe. But then I remembered, yep, we're in Nine of Swords. And I was like, okay, big picture. Lots of work equals increased abundance and, you know, an appreciation coming from the collective conscious for my skills, both, you know, my fashion clients and my healing and intuitive works in tarot. And, you know, thank you, universe, for that. That's even if I'm feeling like tired and like depleted, like it's because my work is in demand and you know, appreciated by the conscious collective. So thank you. And as for the gross sinus infection, I know my old cells and DNA are just shedding to make way for healthy, leveled up ones. And that's part of the process. And, you know, I still didn't love it, obviously, but I at least tried to attempt to practice what I preach about Nine of Swords, to kind of take that step back and see the lessons in it and focus on the growth versus the negative stuff. And this month, I almost forgot, we have a bonus card that we added. So in addition, so we have Temperance moving us from November into December. She's still with us. We have Nine of Swords, not my fave, but some upsides. And then we have our bonus card, Wheel of Fortune. And this card is a powerful guide through December. So even if there are moments that test us in those Nine of Swords kind of, you know, stressors, and moments that require pause or moderation, like Temperance, the Wheel of Fortune really pushes us forward as a reminder that we're always evolving. We're always, you know, up-leveling. We're always in motion. So Wheel of Fortune to me is really about embracing the unknown and even unpleasant situations to see how they're teaching us and helping us to grow and expand. I think my whole hectic work and travel combined with getting sick was a little bit Nine of Swords and a little bit Wheel of Fortune, to be honest, because Wheel of Fortune encourages us to remain as present as possible, learning what we can from the less than fab moments and expressing gratitude for the super amazing ones, because those too can pass. And my birthday was last Tuesday, and I've been single for several years. And sometimes I get a little sad bastard Nine of Swords around my birthday, like, oh, poor me, I don't have a partner who's gonna plan a fancy trip or a big dinner. But actually, I remembered Wheel of Fortune, pull it together, be present, and really be in this moment. And I, because I was feeling run down, I didn't want to plan anything. I had lots of friends being like, what are we doing? And I was just like, I don't want to do anything. I feel like garbage and I want to rest. And my mom, so sweet, came up the weekend before and took me to this lovely fancy vegan dinner. And she just helped me do a lot of little chores that my work schedule and gross sinus infection kind of deterred me from completing. So she was just this like amazing, and she always is, just incredibly helpful angel that just makes my life better. And in that time helps me with things that I just wasn't, self-care that I wasn't doing for myself, because I literally felt like I didn't have the time. And then one of my besties and I decided last minute to go see Cher, floor seats to Cher, literally. Cher, the sun card in my deck, is as phenomenal, BT dubs, in person today at 73 as she's ever been. And that was just an incredible, like, spontaneous moment of, you know, wow, I didn't even know I was going to be doing this like for my birthday, and this is freaking amazing. And that same bestie then planned a lovely small surprise dinner on my actual birthday, and which was just so lovely, and just I felt so like taken care of by all the people in my life. And one of my fashion clients, who I adore, got me a special vegan cake when I went into their offices last week, and even though no one there is vegan, which was so just sweet and like thoughtful and generous. So when I really stepped back, Wheel of Fortune, and, you know, thought about it, sometimes having no plans is amazing. And I have had a way better birthday than many years that I was in a relationship, in different relationships, and because my birthday plans then centered around someone else and, you know, what they wanted to do for me. Whereas this really just, you know, when I blew out my vegan birthday cake candles, I really wished to fully embrace Wheel of Fortune, to continue to, as much as possible, as realistically possible for me, to be present in each moment and soak up all the lessons the universe is trying to teach me, and to use those Wheel of Fortune, Madonna, Reinvention, Evolution vibes to really catapult into 2020. So I had the best time and was just present in all of those moments because they weren't pre-calculated or planned, or they weren't about anyone else. They were like these little lovely surprises from the universe. So thank you for that. I'm really looking forward to this year. The next card we have is our card of the week. So let's take a look at that. And I have to say, after Wheel of Fortune, like, that's some big stilettos to follow for the card of the week. So let's see what we get. Ten of Wands reversed. Okay, so this is interesting because actually Ten of Wands is ruled by Wheel of Fortune, because Wheel of Fortune is the number 10 in the major arcana, so all of the 10s are kind of ruled by Wheel of Fortune, and that represents progress and completion and success. It's also kind of crazy because last week we had Nine of Wands upright for our card, and this is the next sequential card in the minor arcana, but it's reversed. So here's the deal. In the OG Smith Rider Waite, the Ten of Wands is this mofo carrying these 10 heavy wands up a hill. And he's like almost there. And we know he's going to succeed. We can see his destination, this little city that he's going up this hill. But it just looks like work. You know, it looks like a struggle. Astrologically, Ten of Wands is ruled by the strict, disciplined, rule-following planet of Saturn, not my fave, in the fun-loving, optimistic constellation of Sagittarius. So there's kind of, you know, both vibes in this card, and there can be a little bit of a disconnect at times. I often describe this card upright as the successful workaholic card. Like, yes, it's a card of great success, but there's a lot of, you know, strain and struggle. Like, you know those people that just make life look hard, right? Like, Ten of Wands upright would be the person running through the airport during the middle of holiday season with a million bulky carry-ons, sweating and swearing as they run to the gate at last call. But when we have the reversal, which we do this week, yay, this card, because it's successful either way, this card is a card of success upright or reverse. But the reversal is the mofo who would have asked for help at the airport with a super kind smile to the ticket counter, and now they got upgraded, so they're strolling through the priority lane to their seat. And the reversals often, you know, you just come at it with a sense of ease of like, the universe has my back, I'm gonna trust that, life is beautiful, it's not hard, you know, the universe is working for me, it's not out to get me, I'm not a victim. So both cards are successful. The reversal makes it look a little more fun, so I'm happy about this. This week, Ten of Wands reversed is that's offering a little bit of a reprieve for us. If we had, we had Nine of Wands last week going into the week, so that means we held strong through some adversity and we stood our ground. It's the card of perseverance and, you know, holding your ground. But we might have felt a little burdened or exhausted, aka Ten of Wands upright vibes. And the reversal is saying, okay, now we get to coast a little. This week is going to be a little bit easier. It's kind of like an exhale. It's kind of like a free upgrade to first class. Like, okay, we get to have a little bit more fun, and we're still going to be successful, but it's going to come a little bit easier. I often liken Ten of Wands reversed to King of Pentacles, that making success look easy and fun card, which is why I also love King of Pentacles. So thank you, Ten of Wands reversed. Shantae, you stay. Now on to our December's Ask Cards EB questions. So as you guys know, I get a ton of questions through email, my website, Instagram, and I always try to narrow the questions for the month to the ones that are most applicable to the largest range of listeners. So those of you who keep writing me and asking, for the Ask Cards EB segment, can you read why my boyfriend is being so difficult this week? Witches, I love you, but please, please come to my Instagram live for that, or book a one-on-one reading for super specific questions, because we're trying to offer the most to like everyone who listens. We're trying to give the most little gifts to the collective consciousness. So I love the questions that are kind of the biggest, that have a big appeal. So keep those ones coming, guys. And the other ones, I still love you too. Just it's not the place for it. Come to my Insta lives and you can get as specific as you want. So that being said, here's what I've rounded up for our December Ask Cards EB questions. Number one, Hey, Cardzy, I love your podcast and appreciate that you always link to your resources. I'm coming to New York for the holidays, and I would love it if you could give your favorite witchy and metaphysical shopping destinations. Melissa from Detroit. Hey, Melissa, this is a great question, and it's so funny because I just did a reading for an amazing client visiting from Houston who asked me the same thing. So I feel like this is a relevant question, especially with a lot of travel to New York City this time of year. So here we go. Four herbs, and I might have mentioned this before on the podcast. I love, love, love flower power in the East Village. I'm going to link to all of these, so don't worry about stopping and taking notes. When you go to the notes of the podcast, there's going to be a click through to all of these websites. So number one, herbs, flower power. They have everything. You literally feel like you're in a store. I know I reference Harry Potter too much, but if you're a fan, you feel like you're in a store in Diagon Alley. Like, it's just like literally shelves and shelves and shelves of dry herbs. They have tinctures. They have anything you can ask. And the herbalists who work there are incredibly talented magicians and witches. They can help you with it, especially Ariel's one of my faves. Megan, my girl, love you guys. So definitely check out Flower Power. That would be number one on my list. And if you're there in the East Village on that same street, it's an awesome witchcraft store, and it's actually the oldest occult store in New York. It's called Enchantments, and they have an incredible assortment of books, candles, oils. They're really best known for their hand-carved candles, and they will carve them personally while you wait. So you can do super specific issues like, hey, I just moved into a new apartment and I want to clear the energy, or, you know, I just broke up with my ex and I want to emotionally recharge and become energetically available again. Or you can do more general issues. Like, it's the new year. I want just like a New Year's candle, and they'll do something like a solar blast candle for, you know, inviting in like abundance and success. I love that one. I always do solar blast for the new year. I'm going to go down there and get mine soon. And then not too far from Enchantments and Flower Power is one of my all-time favorites, The Alchemist Kitchen. And The Alchemist Kitchen is awesome because it's kind of a hangout. There's a cafe in the front where you can get amazing vegan food and coffees and matchas and drinks. And then in the back, there's a big selection of books and tinctures and metaphysical items. So that's kind of they have a small collection of decks and small collection of crystals, but it's a one-stop shop. If you had to pick one place, they have kind of a little of everything. But if you want to go more into detail for decks specifically, my fave is Om Shanti. That's definitely my go-to for tarot and oracle decks and books on tarot. They have an incredible assortment, including obviously Badass Bitches Tarot. And my other favorite deck, the Handsome Roberts deck, is there. Almost everything you can find at Om Shanti. They also have a decent collection of crystals as well. They do in-store readings. I've read with them in the past, and one of my favorite New York readers, Providence Tarot, he's always there. I think he's there on the weekends. So, but they have really talented readers that they work with. And then if you're really into crystals, I personally think the best crystal shop in New York is Rockstar Crystals, and that's on 26th Street in Chelsea. They have an awesome assortment of everything from loose crystals, larger scale pieces for your home, as well as like bracelets, necklaces, and cool jewelry. And plus, all the people that work there are just super knowledgeable. If you're looking to work with specific energies and you don't know what crystal is right for you, they can definitely help you out. If you're looking to kind of treat yourself to any services like Reiki or, you know, forms of energy healing, past life regressions, check out Open Center. I also work with them as one of their readers. And they have my deck. I'm just shouting out everybody who supports Badass Bitches Tarot, but, they have a really great setup too. It's similar to, Alchemist Kitchen in that they have a little cafe at the front, and then there's a shop in the middle section. And then they have their, area upstairs where they do, their sessions. They do workshops there, and they do one-on-one healing sessions. So definitely look at them. Like I said, all of this is getting linked back to. No need about stressing or writing notes. I'll link to them. But if you do want sessions, I would book them in advance, especially around the holidays. And then last, if you want just like a fun metaphysical souvenir from your trip, definitely go to Magic Jewelry, who, yes, legit sells magic jewelry, i.e. crystals and sacred stones. But they also are I think the only place that I know of personally in New York that does aura photos. Some places will do pop-ups with it, but Magic Jewelry is like the OG. They're known for doing aura photos. I love taking my friends and family members when they come to visit me. They'll take your photo, and then you get to keep that, obviously, but they also walk you through what the different colors in your aura mean, what the energies, you know, that are coming in for you, the energies that are exiting. And I have to say, I took my mom, I took my best friend from Toronto, and it's always totally different. It's so cool to see, because like my aura was very different than like my mom's and when I took my best friend, and your aura changes over time. So it is always different. And as they read through what those colors mean are coming and going from your life, I find that they're pretty accurate. So it's a cool thing to do. And I think it's only like $30. It's totally worth it. So yeah, if you guys are coming to New York, have the best time and DM me or tag me in all of your fun, witchy New York City excursions, because I want to see what you're up to. All right, next question. Okay. Hey, Cardzy, I'm really struggling with December so far. It's usually my favorite month because I'm also a Sagittarius. Maybe it's the Nine of Swords energy you called out for the month, but any tips you have to get through this are appreciated. At Sage Sag. Sage Sag 88. Oh, I like that. Sage Sag. Okay. Yes, absolutely. I feel you on that. You know, of the wonky energy in December. And in addition to pulling Nine of Swords for the month, as you mentioned, there's also a powerful energy portal. And this occurred on that full moon in Gemini on 12:12 a.m. on, if you're in Eastern time. I think it's like specifically Eastern Standard Time. I don't know if you are like feeling this, right? So 12:12 a.m. on 12:12, December 12th, this past Thursday. And 12 is a number of both challenge and completion. So when we think about this in the tarot, 12 is the Hanged Man. It's also our 2019 card. So this energy portal, which started Thursday and ends this coming Saturday, the winter solstice, 12/21, is really the big finale to the year of leveling up and ascending. So finally releasing anything that doesn't serve us to create energetic space for more in 2020. But like with all ascension, there can be some growing pains and some like crunchiness, so to speak. I feel like that explains the unexpected sinus stuff I've been dealing with. I literally haven't been sick with anything like this since 2017 was the last time I was sick. So I was feeling a little bit crazy until I started hearing and reading more about the 12/12 portal. And like the Hanged Man, we may experience some discomfort, things seemingly getting turned upside down, but as we surrender, like the Hanged Man encourages us to do, and breathe into that, the more likely we'll be able to see kind of what the lessons might be, and the faster relief is more likely to come. Also, when you break it down, 12/12, 1212 can also be perceived as the number 3, and the portal ends on 12/21, 1221, 3/3. So the, you know, 3 is the Empress of bringing things to birth and to fruition. So as we kind of surrender to these things that may be really uncomfortable and may not, we don't understand why they're happening and they don't feel necessarily great, as we surrender like the Hanged Man and say, okay, it's happening for a reason, and I'm going to trust the universe, that's really when we're able to step into that 3 Empress energy of like, this is birthing something new. This is birthing something bigger. And I think it's really helping us to ascend and up level, especially 12/12. There's always the 12/12 portal every December, which I love. But we're at the end of a decade. When you think about this, like we're moving into 2020. So this is a big energy portal. And a lot of times with big growth comes some like, you know, some discomfort. So I hope that's helpful. And I hope that makes you feel a little less alone in what you've recently been experiencing. All right. Our next question. Hey, Cardzy, I feel like every major holiday, someone writes into you and asks on advice how to deal with family. But I really struggle with a very, very closed-minded, negative, and verbally abusive family. I'm deciding if I should just stay in my home in LA and spend time with friends who will be in town versus traveling to my family out of town, out of guilt and tradition, which will inevitably subject myself to an experience that I know will just drain and hurt me. From Allegra in LA. Hey Allegra, I'm so sorry you're struggling with this. And honestly, there's no one universal answer, which, you know, is the case with everything in life, really. The only universal truth is love. So whatever is love for you is right in this situation. But I have friends in New York City who choose not to travel to see their bio families for similar reasons that they've shared with me. And instead they celebrate, they do Friendsgivings and like friends holiday sweater parties with their, you know, besties slash chosen families in New York. And I personally am very fortunate and grateful that my parents are very loving and open-minded, and I have experienced a great deal of emotional and spiritual growth in both of my parents in my adult years. But I realize that's not the case for everyone. Sometimes just by continuing to be a happy, kind, loving example can help those around you open their minds and hearts, which I've seen. And sometimes it doesn't, which I've also seen. And when it doesn't, you have to take care of yourself in that case too. I have walked away from friendships for that reason. And I have strong boundaries around certain relatives. And there are extended family members in my bio family that I do not spend time with for that reason. So I think the question to ask yourself is really coming from the Hermit card, i.e. outside of other people's opinions, when you filter out all of that outside noise, what solution brings you the most amount of joy and peace? Is that staying in LA with your besties, which is totally like, you know, you're going to have fun and connect and feel harmonious? Or is that going home and putting strong boundaries in place because there are certain people you genuinely want to spend time with there? Only you know the answer to that. And if you need some time to tease through the situation, take as long as you need to feel at peace with your decision. And if you decide to stay in town with friends, I would recommend any exercises or tools that help you remain present. I love amethyst crystals and working with the energy of Queen of Cups for this. Once you choose your choice, be kind to yourself and try to stay present and engaged versus like, oh, like what are they doing back home? Or like, should I have gone? It's like, choose your choice and love yourself into that moment. If you decide on the flip side to spend the holiday with your family, I would recommend strong boundaries. Think Justice card vibes for creating those boundaries, RBG style in my deck, and Black Onyx for transmuting negative energy is a great crystal if you work with crystals or crystal jewelry. I would also bring just any tools that help you feel balanced and help you to ground, whether you work with crystals, herbs, tarot, or oracle cards. When you just need a moment for yourself, those little things can really just kind of help you bring you back to yourself. I travel with all of these things no matter where I go. Even if I'm going on a super fun vacation with besties, or like my family that I'm excited to see, I take these things because sometimes you need a moment to just step away for you and to recenter. So I would definitely recommend that. Also on just like the escapism side, I love a good fiction book for this when you're traveling and sharing space. Witches of New York by Amy McKay, if you haven't read it, is amazing. And the sequel called Half Spent Was the Night actually takes place between Yule and New Year's Eve, which is like, I love reading things in like not real time because this happened in like the late 1800s, but you know, when like seasonally, you're like, oh cool, they're doing their Yule celebrations. If your family is super judgy about like, oh my gosh, you're reading about witches, you can totally steal my elementary school trick. Buy the hardcover versions and then take that like dust cover, the paper cover off. So you can't even really see what it says. This is how I read Stephen King novels and books about astro travel and tarot in like fourth grade without scaring the shit out of my small town Pennsylvania hometown teachers. So that's always a good reading trick. All right. Our last question for this episode comes from Namaste Magical. I love this. So many good Instagram. Namaste. Yeah, I want to say magical too. I love it. So many good Instagram names today. All right. Hey Cardsy, my family lives in London, so I'm actually going to be away for almost 2 weeks for the holidays. Any tips for traveling with herbs and oils? Happy early holidays, Namaste Magical. I've always wanted to go to London for the holidays. I've been in London, love it, but I've never been there around Christmas time, and I want to be like all Love Actually, you know, meets the craft. But yeah, I do have some tips that I've discovered through trial and error myself. So first of all, disclaimer, unless you have an Adorbs teacup Pomeranian to deter customs, thanks Lola the Dom Pom, love you, foreign customs are definitely the strictest. So most specific, Specifically, they often prohibit herbs. So oils and tinctures can usually go in like with your liquids as beauty products, but herbs are trickier. So if the herbs specifically that you want to travel with are like sage for clearing and purifying, they make great sprays. And again, those are a little less suspect when they're, you just pack them with like your beauty supplies. But if you are talking about straight up herbs, you've got a couple of options here. Number one, bring them and roll the dice. As long as they're not psychedelics, the worst thing that's going to happen is they take away your mugwort, right? But I would recommend checking over carrying on if this is the route you're going to take. Also, this is a personal choice on how anxious you feel about breaking rules here, because I'm a Slytherin house alum, so you can probably guess my sentiments around this, but you know, you gotta do you. Feel what's comfortable for you. The second option is the Gryffindor route. Don't bring anything that could possibly fall into the food category, i.e. herbs, and instead just look up or kind of research Google local stores where you can purchase these when you get there. I've done this when I've traveled to Europe, to Amsterdam, and like I love Amsterdam. I go there a lot, so I kind of have my go-to places that I'm just like, cool, check into my hotel, go to my store, get what I need for the week. It's a bit more research and legwork, but when you get there, but there's less airport anxiety involved in option number two. And number three, just a little note from my experiences on additional items. Crystals are always fine. Bring all the crystals that float your boat. Tarot decks, though, can actually cause your carry-on to be flagged and have to be pulled aside and delayed in the airport, which can suck if you cut it close to your flight time. So it's because of the density of them being packed into that tight cardboard box, right? Like I literally had a full conversation just interviewing TSA last time this happened to me. I don't know if they think it's some sort of mystical bomb of cosmic knowledge. What? I didn't say that when I asked him. But anyway, it's better if you're carrying on decks to just have them like ready to go and throw them into the tray, like a cell phone or computer. But if you are going to keep them in your carry-on while you're flying, put them in a larger pouch. If you don't want to like bother like digging through and pulling them out, because if you put them into kind of like a bag or like a looser container, they'll see that they're cards if they're not tightly packed together in that box, which, you know, they're like jangling around freely having a dance party in a bag. Cool. If they're tightly packed together, they think it's a cosmic bomb. I don't know. I hope that's helpful, and I hope all of you guys have an incredible Yule and a holiday, celebrations, whatever and wherever they may be. Okay, I will quickly, I'm going overtime today. I had a lot of questions. Okay, quick recap, because I always do. This month, we have Temperance following us from November into December, reminding us to step back and see the big picture so we can strike a balance between our emotional experiences and how we ground. We also have Nine of Swords, not loving it, which can bring some stress and anxiety, but ultimately kind of invites us that, you know, we can change our thought patterns and we get to choose what we focus our attention on. We also have our additional monthly bonus card for December only, Wheel of Fortune, because it's ruled by Jupiter, Sag's ruler. And Wheel of Fortune reminds us that we're always in motion, always evolving, and even stressful situations are often occurring to help us level up. And this week we have Ten of Wands reversed, offering a bit of an easier flow. If last week felt like a bit of a challenge, Ten of Wands reversed offers a lightened workload and smoother sailing. Still super successful, but just like a little bit more like bling bling easy vibes. Instagram lives, you guys, still on Monday nights at 7:30. I will be here tomorrow night. If you haven't tuned in the past, the lives are a chance to ask your own questions for a free mini reading. You can also send questions through in advance. Through my website, badassbitchestarot.com, or through my Instagram at cardzb. I just want to say a quick thank you. Such an incredible time in Toronto. To everyone who came out, thank you, thank you. I love Toronto. And I still have a bunch of fun events in New York coming at the end of this month. So continue to check out my Instagram at cardzb to find out when and where they're happening. The next one, I believe, is at the Assemblage on John Street for an awesome winter solstice Yule celebration. There's going to be several amazing energy healers, readers, plant-based food, fun herbal drinks. Definitely come see me. I'm there Saturday, December 21st from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Thank you guys so much. Happy Sagittarius season and happy Yule. And as always, stay magical AF.